Menace Nation, it's Menace Morning Time.
Wake 'em up.
I don't do the most, but I do a lot.
Tryna hide from the camera.
I'ma make a toast, cause we still alive.
I ain't going outside today.
No big.
Couldn't find our tick. So I'm drinking on Accutane.
I feel like Pac.
I'ma pull up my style. We gon' do a drive-by in the rain.
I shoot a shot. I'm coming in.
It is Friday, March 11th, TGIF. It is the freaking weekend. I know it's just the morning. We got a little bit of time left, a little bit more work to be done, but it's the weekend. Mm-hmm. I hope everyone has a blast, man. I hope you do something really fun, maybe a little crazy, a little wild or relaxing. I just hope you have a great bomb-ass weekend because we don't get to watch Ohio State play basketball this weekend. So enjoy that. Enjoy having no Buckeyes on TV all weekend because Chris Holtmann, you know, certainly deserves Coach of the Year this year. If not national, definitely Big Ten Coach of the Year. Just an outstanding job he's done. The last eight games, they've been on fire. They just can't seem to win. It's if your goal is to lose, he is the GOAT. Mm-hmm. But this is not going to be a basketball school. I did just want to mention that this is Ohio State, the Ohio State University. I can hear all the excuses, all the reasons. He had a COVID year in there. This year, he got a bunch of dudes hurt, four of his top eight players. And I certainly am not a basketball guy, but I know this much. Year five, you haven't done shit, haven't won anything, haven't done anything in the tournament, haven't won the Big Ten. Sorry, bub. Time's up. You made your three bills a year. Gots to go. Time for you to leave and time to go get Jeff Bowles or someone else. Someone that's going to bring, you know, proper success to Ohio State. I'm not saying they got to be Kentucky, but Christ, be competitive in the Big Ten. Maybe, you know, win a tournament game. Just make Ohio State fans enjoy basketball. And good morning, Linz Breezy and everyone else. Colorado Buckeye, we see you in here. Hope everyone's having a great Friday. Starting off the day right. My kids don't have school again. Teacher work day. They have more 3- and 4-day weekends than any school district in the world. So we're going to have a nice chaotic day at my house. But I do want to start off talking about Harry Miller, Chris, because we talked about it and I made the comment like something's got to be going on here because like you just nobody's hurt for this long. And sure enough, he came out with you talk about a powerful statement. Man. Oh, my gosh. I mean, just really just powerful. I mean, powerful to the world of mental health. And you just read that and you say, oh, my God, thank God he mentioned something to Ryan Day. And thank God Ryan Day had something in the works or, you know, had a protocol plan for if something like this came up because he immediately got him help and the kid's in a much better place now. But it makes you think, right? If Harry Miller, a guy that is starting for Ohio State before he got hurt, he's a starter, right? Probably going to make a lot of money playing in the NFL, right? Very smart kid, right? Engineer major, just like you, just seems like he has the whole world by the nuts.
And in front of him,
right? Mm-hmm. Just nothing to not be optimistic and happy about. It just goes to show you the power of mental health because sometimes it's the wealthiest in the world or the happiest, quote unquote, in the world, the guys or girls with the most going for them. And they can have serious mental health issues. That's why it's so important to talk about. That's why I brought it up and I'll continue to bring it up, even though they're not sponsoring the show right now, is BetterHelp. If you haven't checked it out, it's an awesome online therapy platform. Essentially, you can get connected to therapists, psychologists, psychiatrists, and talk to someone, a qualified licensed professional, without having to make an appointment, drive to an office, sit in a waiting room, all of that. You can do it from the comfort of your home. And I think, I mean, I've used it and I've gotten a ton of feedback. It's awesome. So just a shameless plug to a former sponsor that I still think provides immense value to the listeners, to the Menace Army. So just kind of a shout out to everybody going through anything. Everybody's going through something, some more than others, and some are struggling right now. And so I'm here to tell you, reach out, hit me in my DMs. It happens all the time. The Menace Army is powerful and people have reached out to me plenty and I'm here. I know Chris is here, but just wanted to shout out Harry Miller, man. Go give him some love. Go jump on Twitter. Make sure he knows how appreciated he is, even if he's not on the field. This is bigger than football, bigger than athletes. Just go let him know, like, you're important and you're a Buckeye. Whether you're playing the sport or not, you are a Buckeye, And we love you, Harry. That's just the moral story.
We're super proud of him, man. Because this is so difficult. I mean, for as powerful as that was super hard for me to read. And so you know that had to have been just gut-wrenching and exhausting for him to write and go through.
What? He was so transparent and graphic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That it made a major impact, right? It's very easy for him to write a statement and say, I've been struggling with some mental health issues and no longer can play football. He could have left it at that, but just the vivid detail and the transparency into, you know, he was going to kill himself, talking about a box cutter, just the stuff like that, that just the shock value increases the impact of that statement. And for any kid, I mean, I had my 12-year-old read it, because it's real. It's never too early to talk about it. I mean, there's kids out here, 12, 13 years old, that kill themselves. Like it's never okay to not talk about it and not make sure, you know, the kids, adults, doesn't matter who, any age, that it's discussed and they know that it's not only is it okay to talk about, but it's championed, it's celebrated. Mm-hmm. I mean, my son knows if he's struggling with something, like he needs to talk about it. And it doesn't mean he's weak. It doesn't mean, you know, he's soft or a pussy or anything like that. It means that, you know, I'm going through some stuff. My mental's not right. And I need to talk about it so I can try to work through it and get past it. Otherwise, it can become a demon.
Mm-hmm. And it's important. It's super important to remember. Sometimes, a lot of times we view these athletes through the scope of, you know, a football player. And it's really important to remember that these are young men playing football and not just football player. And Harry Miller is a prime example of that. And I'm super proud of him. I mean, I know you've gone through your own stuff, but I've also dealt with my, you know, worries and struggles and, you know, in and out of the hospital with the mental health, you know, stuff, the deep depression. It's like seeing an athlete come forward and talk about that is going to be super powerful and a good teaching point for you, for me, when I'm a dad or when I'm, you know, people are looking up for me. It's like, that'll be something I'll point to and be like, this young man, tremendous courage, and is still alive because he went and got help. And it also speaks to Ryan Day, kind of the, no phoniness. Like he you know, he came forward about, you know, being how important mental health was to him. And I'm really glad of all the teams Harry Miller was on. I'm really glad it was Ohio State and Ryan Day.
Without a doubt. And this goes back. I've told the story before, but we had, when I was still at Ohio State, my last year, Ryan just got hired as the quarterback coach and Urban brought in a part of Real Life Wednesdays. He brought in this guest speaker. And I did this last time I talked about it. I had to go look it up after the fact. I didn't prepare this story. This is just kind of shooting from the hip and on topic. He brought in this speaker that was unbelievable. I mean, one of the best speakers I've ever heard. And it was all about mental health. But the way the guy did it was just, I mean, outstanding. I mean, he started with spoken word, kind of like lyrics, rap lyrics. Mm-hmm. He's this, I mean, goofy looking white guy, nerdy glasses, like, and he, what made it so great and made his presentation so great was his ability to drop the shield of 120 guys. Because it's hard to do, right? You're speaking to a group, especially a large group like that.
A diverse group. Yeah.
To connect and shatter the glass, drop the shield, get people to, you know, buy in to what you're about to say is such a hard thing. It's the key to public speaking. And I've studied a lot about public speaking and giving speeches in my time. And that's the number one thing you have to do when you first step in front of a room, somehow, some way, you have to connect with the audience and get them to drop the shield. And this guy did it magically with spoken word and its lyrics. And it was funny. It was hilarious. Dudes were laughing. Like, it's like this nerdy white guy is basically rapping right now. And instantly it was like fun. And then immediately, shock value, he took a turn to suicide. And it was like, whoa, no one saw that coming. But it was like, everyone was already in. They were already all in. And he started talking about, like, and the most powerful thing he did, once everyone's shield was down, it was already getting a little emotional. You could cut the air with a knife. That's how thick it was. Mm-hmm. Just the emotions that were pouring out of people. And then he said something. He was like, stand up if you've ever thought about killing yourself, and just didn't talk for 3 minutes.
That's chilling, man.
And then slowly one kid stood up. Then two more kids stood up. And I'll never forget one of the most famous people on that roster. And I'm certainly not going to put anyone's, you know, privacy or mental health out there, but one of the most famous people on that roster stood up and everyone in the room was like, what? Like, how, what? Mm-hmm. And the kid started bawling, crying as he stood up, and you're just like, whoa. And it was like one of those meetings where afterwards, I think we're supposed to do a walkthrough or something. And Urban just stood up and he was like, wow.
coaches, just let's, why don't you guys go take your players to your room and just talk. Yeah. And for an hour and a half, I sat there with my guys and we just talked. We said, fuck football, skip football for today. We're not doing shit. Let's just talk. Mm-hmm. And it was one of the most powerful things I've ever been a part of. And to see that one kid stand up was just like, wow. Like nobody's safe, right? Mm-hmm. The most popular, successful, you know, quote unquote, happiest people on the surface can be dealing with some serious demons. And it's just, man, the world we live in, man, just talk about it. Please talk mm-hmm. about it.
And then that's the number one thing to help this. The more people that are comfortable talking about it, like the more people like Harry Miller that, you know, can admit and come talk about it, it'll be a teaching point for everyone. It's just
absolutely. And Ryan Day knows his dad committed suicide. So there's not a head coach in the country that was better equipped or better ready mm-hmm. to act, because it's right. all about action, right? You there can be signs and there can be all these things, but it's like, you know, sometimes you get in your motions, you're going through your days, and it's like you might see something. It's like, oh, he's good though, and just keep it moving. It's like, whoa, time out. He might not be. Mm-hmm. He might not be. She might not be. Like, check and find out. Mm-hmm. Try to rip down the walls and see what's inside there and see if you can help. And that's what Ryan Day did. And man, thank God he did.
Mm-hmm. Thank God, indeed. So, So definitely go shoot Harry Miller some love, or shoot, you know, someone you haven't reached out to some love. Do something today. just go shoot some love, because
let's just do that, right?
It's important.
Do something today to make a difference mm-hmm. in somebody's life. Doesn't matter what it is.
Right. I mean, Meditation. We love you. We love you. Just straight up.
Hey, it doesn't take anything to be kind, right? Right. It's exactly. a moral story.
Exactly. I do want to switch to another Buckeye, Cameron Babb,
my guy.
Yeah, no. He spoke yesterday, and seeing him speak, I texted you actually when I was kind of watching clips, just like I was almost emotional, and I don't even, you know, I never met Cam Babb. I don't know Cam Babb, but Zach, I was telling you, there's no one I think I've prayed for harder that I haven't known than Cam Babb.
Well, obviously I'm really close with the kid. I mean, I talked mm-hmm. to him yesterday. The minute I saw the interview, I texted him. I was like, hey man, cut that shit out. You got me all emotional over here. Like, just fucking give the coach player answer and stop being so authentic. You're making me cry over here like a little bitch. And he texted back. He's like, man, this is crazy. Like, I coach, I wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for you. I appreciate you. And I'm like, damn, shut up. Like,
yeah, chill. Like, I'm already on the verge.
I'm trying to like tell you to shut up so I don't get emotional, asshole. Mm-hmm. But
Cam Babb, I want to ask about him. If he is the fourth best receiver, I think he should start for Ohio State, game one at least. And yeah, I mean, this is a rare example of where maybe a kid's not one of the three best, but you start him because he's one of the three most important for that room. And so that's
starting is such a different tag, right? People assume starting, like, it's like people that tried to argue that Jameson Williams wasn't a starter at Ohio mm-hmm. State. It's like, well, what the fuck? He took the first snap of every game. Yes, he is. Like, that means you're a starter, right? I could absolutely see it's a motivation tool, right? Being a starter, right? Being named a starter, being recorded as a starter is something important, and you can use that as motivation. So would Cam Babb take the first snap of the first game? Absolutely. He even if he's not one of the best four, like, I could see Brian Hartline doing that to reward the kid. Now, will he be one of the best three or four? If he's healthy, if he honestly is 100%, which I don't know if it's even possible, but if he is, I'm here to tell you, he absolutely might be one of the best two or three. And in that case, obviously, we're talking about, you talk about ridiculous. I mean, just absolute freak show of a room. It already is. But you add that kid in, people don't even know. People don't even know how good he was. People don't know how much potential he has if he is able to be 100%. And with, you know, medical development, and I mean, four ACLs is a bitch, Chris.
That's a lot.
A bitch to come back from. Now, he didn't have four on one knee. Otherwise, I think he would be DQ'd automatically. Like, no way you could play if you did that. But man,
I was telling them what you told me 2 years ago, because you and I have been speaking for a long time, even kind of before the podcast stuff started. And one of the things you said was you called him a freakier version of what Jalen Marshall could have been if Jalen Marshall stayed at Ohio State.
Yeah, I mean, his game reminded me so much of Jalen Marshall. Just his body type, he's a big, thick, physical kid,
and he looks even stronger now.
Like, I mean, he could change direction like Jalen. He can run like Jalen. Like, he was reminded me so much of Jalen. He just was, you know, 2.0. He was a slightly better version coming out of high school. Now, Jalen obviously had a pretty good career. So, mm-hmm. and Cam's been hurt, but But that potential is still there. That ceiling is still there. And if he can be that guy, good God, watch out.
Yeah, no, and I think that there will be an emphasis to get him involved regardless, because I think he can do a lot of special things, and because he's a really special kid with a special story. And sometimes I think that's, you know, that matters. So yeah, I he said he's 100% Zach. Like he said, he's feeling no ill effects. He's going full speed. He's cutting. He's feeling good.
Yeah, I mean, time will tell, right? Time will tell what that means. He can feel great. He can feel 100%, but is it truly 100% of where he could have been without injury, right? Like, you just don't know. You just don't know. And this spring, you'll learn a lot. They'll find out a lot about Cam Babb and what he's capable of doing. And mm-hmm. I know this, he's talented enough to do it all. It's just a matter of if he actually can be healthy enough to do it all.
Yeah. And additionally, if he's healthy, this will be one of the great Buckeye stories. I mean, he's widely regarded in Buckeye Nation as everybody's favorite, or definitely one of the favorites. And everyone's rooting for him. And I think that there will be more than just me crying and you crying if he's able to start that game one.
The kid was named a captain and couldn't play. Mm-hmm. Like, his teammates voted him as a captain, even though he wasn't playing the sport that they were on the team to play.
And he was coming to practices and just doing work on the side, or just watching it, didn't miss anything.
I mean, unprecedented. Mm-hmm. Like that never happens. Maybe a guy, you know, because gets named a captain and week four breaks his leg and he's out for the year, but he was named a captain when he was playing. This kid was out, out, mm-hmm. not playing, and they still named him a captain. The amount of respect that is in that locker room for this kid is probably unprecedented, unheard of.
And I've never seen him not smiling. Like, always, you know, speaking about his faith, always speaking about like where he wants to get to, his journey. Like, the message never changed from him.
No.
And for so many people, it would have changed.
I said it before and I'll say it again. He is exactly what I hope my son becomes. Mm-hmm. Like, I want my son to be just like Cam Babb. I do. That's the ceiling. That's the pinnacle of my parenting journey, is trying to get my kid to be like Cameron Babb. Mm-hmm. Point blank, the end.
I'm super excited for him. And I think it's a no-brainer. You have to give him Block O, right? Like, you have to. If they don't give him Block O, who do you give it to? No. If you don't give that to him, just get rid of the tradition already. Like, just book it. It's done. It's stupid.
That's a little dramatic. There's probably other people that you can make a case for.
No. Nobody else. I do want to switch gears. NFL. There was a question. Are the Chargers now the favorite in the AFC, Zach? They traded for Khalil Mack. They now have Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa on the same team.
I mean, it definitely, you know, increased how dynamic their pass rush would be, but it's tough to say that they are, you know, the team to beat in the AFC just because they got a defensive end. And, you know, I don't see a real weakness on their team, but mm-hmm. But I can't say that yet. I mean, first of all, how can you say that with Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, and everyone coming back in Cincinnati, only going to add new pieces? Like, Cincinnati is 100% the team to beat in the AFC, and they're only going to be more so the team to beat in the AFC when they add some pieces in this draft class, free agency, and you know, just enhance their checkers. Right. I mean,
and now the Cincinnati Broncos, obviously, I think are going to be a really good football team.
Yeah, I mean, if you buy into Russell Wilson, I'm not standing on that bandwagon, pumping my fist, saying go Broncos.
I will die on that hill. Go Broncos. Yeah,
you might die on that hill, but there's a lot of hills you've already died on. You're like a fucking cat. You got 9 lives. You just keep dying on hills, coming back to stand on a stupid one again.
But if the Chargers and Bengals play today, I would take the Chargers to win. I do think it's interesting. This is just kind of following a trend.
But they don't play today.
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
Like, the Bengals still have pieces to put in place.
Okay, calm down. Anyway,
that's like saying, oh, if, you know, the 2042 Broncos played today, you know, against the Raiders, I think the Raiders would win. Well, you don't know. Those kids aren't even born yet. Like, what are you talking about? It's like you're arguing nothing.
Are you done?
I'm just saying.
Okay. Are you done yet? Gee whiz.
You're arguing absolute fantasy land. Like, what's cooler, a unicorn or a Sasquatch? I don't fucking know.
Definitely
like,
a Sasquatch. It's
fantasy land.
Definitely a Sasquatch. I digress.
Cooler than a unicorn? The fuck is wrong with you? Sasquatch is cooler than a unicorn? Tell me you're going to stand on this hill, too.
I won't die on this hill, but I'll stand on it for a little bit.
Fucking Sasquatch over a unicorn. That's all I need to know about you.
Okay, calm. Are you done? Can I get to my point about rookie quarterback deals?
Go ahead. Talk about rookie quarterbacks,
Chris. Gee whiz. Yes, Russell Wilson is a guaranteed Hall of Famer. Anyway, quarterbacks on rookie deals, it's so much easier to win a Super Bowl, and the Chargers know that this is their window. In the past X amount of years, you know, you've had Russell Wilson on, he's been to two Super Bowls on a rookie deal, hasn't been back since. Jared Goff, one Super Bowl appearance on a rookie deal, hasn't been back since. Pat Mahomes won a Super Bowl on a rookie deal. The next year they went into the Super Bowl, it was after the extension. That's false. Cut that out. I do not think the Browns will win a Super Bowl in 2050. Pat Mahomes won a Super Bowl on a rookie deal, and then after his extension, when they couldn't bring back pieces, we saw them struggle in the Super Bowl. Joe Burrow, one appearance on a rookie deal. And then the Wentz Foles Eagles year, it was a rookie deal from Carson Wentz, and then obviously he got hurt, and then it was a backup deal from Nick Foles. They were able to surround them with so much. They went to a Super Bowl. And then, you know, 10 Super Bowl appearances from Tom Brady, all of them except for one were on a super discounted Tom Brady deal because obviously Giselle's his wife and he understands winning. So that shows you just straight up to it's so much easier if your quarterback is not making that 25.
Well, it's a pie, right?
It's a pie.
You have a pie and it is a constricted pie. Like you can't just have two pies. It's not like baseball where you can just bake as many pies as you want and hand it all out.
Right.
Like there is a specific pie that you have to cut up. And if you're giving your quarterback $250 million, that's a lot of pie for one guy, albeit the most important guy. But it's tough. It's tough to have a quality roster with depth, you know, 22 guys on the field, 11 on offense, 11 on defense, to pay some of the best in the game at all positions and be a Super Bowl contender. Like that quarterback better be a badass to make that kind of money and still win.
And then if you do it, you end up like backloading deals and like going over caps for next year, having to cut players, which is what the Rams are going to have to do because they're way over the cap for next year. They're going to be in cap hell, but all that to sacrifice for one ring. So I do think the Chargers feel like Justin Herbert's on a rookie deal. We have Bosa. Let's go win a Super Bowl. And now they have a really good roster and the AFC is going to be a battle next year, but I'm, you know, fingers crossed and praying for obviously Joe Burrow to get back. Cause I don't know anybody who doesn't root for Joe Burrow, but maybe my circle is pretty small. A couple of mailbag questions. Zach, someone wants to know, how will the run game be any different if Ryan Day is still calling the plays, even if Justin Fry is there? Will Justin Fry get some more say? Or is that 90% of our run game still going to be stretch runs, you think?
Well, I mean, the system is the system, right? Mm-hmm. The difference is now you're going to have an offensive line coach who brings creativity and is trying to get, you know, things done in the run game that he likes and that helps his guys out, right? Because my criticism has always been there's no multiplicity in this run game, and that's hard for an offense to run the ball effectively. And it's hard on offensive linemen because they really have, you know, one kind of block. And a D lineman that's all he's worried about is that one kind of block. Like at some point you need a down block, kick out, running some gap scheme. So there you're definitely going to see a different run game. You're going to see an enhanced run game because Justin is not like Stud, where Stud just sat there, listened what he was told to do, and coached his offensive line. Like that's what Stud did. He didn't provide much value in the meeting room as far as what you should do or game planning. That's just not who he is. Justin is that. So there's going to be a lot more input from the offensive line coach than Ohio State's had really since Ed Warner left. Because Ed Warner was, for all of his deficiencies, he had a bunch of ideas on how to run the ball. He brought a bunch of ideas, right? So I've always been transparent and real. Like he's not a good football coach, certainly can't call a play. But when it came time to game plan and put together a run game plan, Ed was pretty good at it. And that's what you lost when Stud took over. And that's, you're going to get that back plus some with Justin. So the run game will definitely be different because Justin will actually provide input and he'll ask tough questions. He's not going to get pushed around by anybody. And so there's going to be a better product put on the field when it comes to handing the ball off to Travion Henderson. There just is.
Mm-hmm. I can't wait to watch Travion Henderson. Another question, Zach, been a fan of your show. How do you feel about Zone 6 being used as a slogan for the current receiver group at Ohio State?
I love it. I love it for a number of reasons. One, it is completely promoting all the stuff I'm doing with my name that I created. But two, I mean, I say that, but I just came up with it. Like it was my thing that I brought as motivation, but those players owned it. So like they all, you know, became a part of it. They were birthed into Zone 6. These kids now that have no idea how it started, what it means. Brian Hartline doesn't even know how it started or what it means, but it's just the tradition of that room that was started in 2014 that led to a national title, by the way. And it is what it is. I mean, it will probably forever be there. And a long time from now, people will have forgotten who the fuck I am and that I even coached at Ohio State and that I came up with it. They'll probably be selling t-shirts to say Zone 6. Problem is, I'm going to have a trademark on that shit, so they're going to have to give my kids or grandkids a cut. A
Come get it.
No, but back. I love it. And joking aside, I think it's great because that's, you know, that's the legacy that was created and then carried on and enhanced. It's only getting better. Mm-hmm. And it's really unique. I mean, it's the one brand in college football that is that strong, powerful, and real. I mean, you have all these other ones, right? The Lawn Boys is the running backs at Penn State. Tote Nation is the running backs at Ohio State. BIA, I guess, is possibly on that level. But all those things were created because of Zone 6. You talk about trend setting, trailblazing, you know, paving a path. We started that, and the power of it, right? Mm-hmm. People saw it within the program how powerful it was.
You guys had the Zone 6 dog tags. I'll never forget that.
I still have mine. We had Zone 6 dog tags, t-shirts, stickers, helmet decals, everything. And the kids bought into it, and it became an identity and a brand, and they embraced it. And once that happened, other position groups started doing it. That's where BIA came about. Mm-hmm. It's like that was a motto, but then Kerry wanted to turn it into like their brand. And then Tote Nation did it. And then Arizona's wide receivers at one point were calling themselves Zone 6. And it's like, come on, bro. Like, you got to come up with your own thing, don't you?
And then I'll never forget LeVar Ball took the logo.
Oh, man. That still pisses me off.
Insanity. No, I love it. I mean, I think like as a football coach, kind of the one thing you want is like legacy wise, like what impact did you leave on the game when you left? And I mean, I know, at least because I know you and I follow you for a long time, that Zone 6 and that branding, that's straight from your wheelhouse. And like the Zone 6 commercials were really cool. And it felt like what you said, like a wolf pack, like a pack of wolves. Like that is the Zone 6 wolf pack. And I absolutely love it. There's a question about what should be etiquette regarding approaching players you see off the field and asking for a handshake in a picture.
Come on, man. That's the reason why these kids are celebrities. The reason why they are now getting paid NIL deals. The reason why they pick up half the chicks they pick up. The reason why they're going to go to the NFL and make money is because of fans. Mm-hmm. So that's what you sign up for. If you don't like it, you need to go do something else. Now, there is a respect line. Like if a guy's out to dinner with his girlfriend or his mom, like you probably don't interrupt that, but that's what you sign up for, right? You're reaping the benefits of being a celebrity. You got to deal with the other side of it, right? That fans want to meet you, right? Those fans are the reason why you have all the shit you have and have the opportunities you have. So if a guy wants to come up and get a handshake and a picture, don't be a dick. Like the guy's a big fan of yours. You're doing something to impact other people. Shake his fucking hand, smile real pretty, and take the picture.
Heard. There's a question about Knowles coming from the Big 12. Do you think he'll have some adjustments or have some struggles stopping the power run schemes that you see more in the Big 10 than you do in the Big 12?
Nah. I mean, it's offense versus defense. And his defense was outstanding. I think traditionally Big Ten defenses aren't great, partly because of how they practice and they're not fundamentally well coached, and his defenses were, and that's universal. I don't care what conference you go to. If your defense plays fast and tackles well, simple, you're going to be good.
On a scale of 1 to fire him right now, how hot is Chris Holtmann's seat in Columbus?
It should be completely in fuego. I don't claim to know basketball. I already kind of mentioned it. I don't claim to know basketball. Don't care to know basketball. Not even really a huge basketball fan, but I do know Ohio State. I do know what that program demands, and to have 0 Big Ten titles, 0 tournament runs in 5 years, he's got to go. Like, it's the Ohio State University. Like, that seat should already be scorched earth, and Gene Smith should already be looking into who's next.
Yep. No, definitely. That's all I have on the question side, Zach. I did want to bring up one note. This is from Dan Lust. I saw the tweet today. Deshaun Watson case goes to grand jury today. If he's, you know, cleared and formally charged with a crime, he still has to play wait and see with the NFL. Roger Goodell suspended Roethlisberger after DA declined to pursue charges. Ben got 6 games. Deshaun Watson has 20 more accusers.
Deshaun Watson is never going to play football again. Period. He is absolutely not. He's absolutely going to be charged. I mean, and I'm not even saying he did anything wrong. I mean, clearly it looks like he did, but that's not for me to judge. I'm just talking about the way society works nowadays. These these instances turn into class action charges. Basically, they try to find anyone and everyone that's ever like been in a room alone with Deshaun Watson and try to get them on board. Like, this is a complete witch hunt, whether deservedly or not. I'm not here to discuss that because I don't know, and neither do you, neither does anyone listening. But it is done. It is over. He is getting canceled. And from the conspiracies of Jerry Sandusky on down, you name it. Anytime there's been multiple accusers, this is what happens. Like I said, true or not, these lawyers see a payday and they go find victims all over the place to try to increase the amount that they can sue for. And this guy's fucked. He is done. He's never going to play football again.
It's done. Well, Zach, that's all I have on that side of things. I do agree with you. A couple of days ago we talked about it and it was like, but now I feel like he'll never play again. Is there anything else you want to hit before we finish some house cleaning? I mean, are we Spaces? What do you think?
Yeah, Twitter Spaces today, 2 o'clock. We're in it to win it. Also live on YouTube. If you haven't yet, hit subscribe on YouTube. Our subscribers are growing. We're adding subscribers like crazy. So make sure you subscribe. We got a bunch of big shit coming. As soon as this new computer's done, that YouTube content's going to be cooking.
Oh yeah, I have something so cool in the works for you guys that me and Zach are partnering.
It's going to be awesome.
I am so excited. I was nerding out yesterday, man. Just texting you, going through all the instances.
It's going to be nuts. Just because I'm building this Zone 6 platform that I'm hoping to launch today. It might have to wait till Monday, but either way, it's going to be launched really, really soon. And once I do, just working on the content for that, I've really refined a way to make some pretty cool shit. And I sent some of it to Chris yesterday. So we're going to have some badass game breakdowns, highlight breakdowns, player breakdowns coming to YouTube. So go ahead and subscribe right now. Hit subscribe, click the bell, turn it on. And if you aren't watching live, comment on this video, what you want to see, huh?
Hometown hero.
I didn't set it up. We're going to have to wait. We'll do two next week.
Yeah.
I know. My bad, Jaren. I completely forgot about it.
They're killing
We'll do
us.
Hometown Hero next week. We'll do two of them. We'll do one on Tuesday, one on Friday or Thursday.
But the reason we're not doing it is because me and Zach yesterday, we go through these like creative moments where the whole world circles and our ideas kind of line up for something. And so that's kind of where our heads have been at for the last, 12 hours, especially because with the Spotify call, with the calls from other people in the industry hitting us up, with even my radio station kind of tweaking out about some of the things we're doing, like our head's been in a different place. And we're about to, Zach and I agree, we have three level ups coming in the next month.
We have some moves that we need to make, and we are making. You're damn right, slackers. Joshua, I agree. We are slacking.
Joshua, my bad. Kiss my ass.
But that being said, still got to keep it moving. So check out Zone 6 when it'll be launched. It might be launched tonight, if not Monday. And then always, like I've been mentioning, the Brenda Tracy Fund. Don't forget. We can't forget about the Brenda Tracy Fund. We got to get Brenda on the show. So if you want to donate to that GoFundMe is pinned on our Twitter. Every single penny of that will go to a domestic violence victim advocacy, either one that Brenda picks when she comes on the show, or we can all pick it. We can put out a poll. Where do you think the money should go? So we're raising money for domestic violence victims, actual ones, real ones, ones that actually endured violence, because that is horrific. The rest of them are fucking clowns. But anyways, I digress. Also, March Madness, we have our Bracketology, Menace Madness going on, $20, Venmo to Cameron Media. You will be in the CBS list.
Sunday. I'm sending invites out Sunday.
Sunday, we're sending out invites. So get your $20 in on Venmo at Cameron Media. Also, the squares for charity for March Madness, $100 a square. Pay out every game, 25 first round, 50 second round, $100 Elite Eight, $200 Final Four, I think. Wait, I fucked up somewhere there. Sweet 16 is 100. Elite Eight's 200. Final Four's 400. In the national championship, you win $1,000 if your square hits. So $100 on Venmo at Cameron Media. I think that's all we got going right now, Chris.
Yeah.
Which is like, 10 minutes worth of shit to talk about.
Yeah, no, we'll be good. And just being on the lookout, next week's going to be freaking crazy.
For sure. And Richie, I will work on that. Try to get Coach JB to come in a future space. So appreciate everybody. That's all we got. Menace out.